The 1993 film Jurassic Park, based on the book by Michael Crichton, is the 15th highest-grossing film in U.S. history, and it gets its plot from entomology, the study of insects. All genres of movies share certain things. There's a plot, a main character or two, supporting characters, a setting, a soundtrack, and insects. I invited our Ozarks at Large insect expert, Dr. Donald Steinkraus, entomologist at the University of Arkansas, to discuss the role insects play in films. As it turns out, they serve a different purpose in a variety of films.
There's different types of movies with bugs in them. So sometimes they're the main characters, like in Ants or the Bee Movie, and other times they're incidental and create an ambience or a feel, I think.
There are films that really play on people's phobias of bugs and portray them as disgusting and scary, a gross factor, like Arachnophobia, literally a movie about the fear of spiders. Steinkraus says that when he asked people about their insect experiences in film, many say Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
There are these scenes where they're in a sort of tunnel and there's these bugs everywhere. The whole tunnel is crawling with bugs.
Few ask different fortune cookies.
It's not fortune cookies. Let me take a look.
That's no cookies.
It's all right, I got it.
The actress in the film was so frightened by the insects that she had to take a tranquilizer before filming. Steinkraus says that she didn't have any reason to be frightened, that there isn't much accuracy with the insects.
The bugs they use are kissing cockroaches, which I raise and are totally harmless. They had a lot of giant walking sticks, which are remarkable creatures. They're very big insects, but they're also harmless. And then they had longhorn beetles, these cerambycids, which again are harmless. So they depict them as this really gruesome, scary scene, but actually all the bugs in it are perfectly harmless, and the actress didn't have to be scared of them at all.
He says they did have one possible toxic insect, giant centipede that can bite. If you look closely, you can tell that mannequins and such were used in the scenes with bugs crawling on humans. As an entomologist, he thinks the movie makers should contact one to make the gory films more realistic. But in animated films like A Bug's Life, A Bee Movie, or Ants, insects are portrayed as cute and humanized, something relatively new thanks to computer-generated graphics. Steinkraus does have one criticism of these flicks.
The hero of them is generally a male, like a male ant or a male bee. In the social insect world, the males almost never have any role to play. So like in the Bee Movie, they show a male and he's out gathering and doing things and working, but that's not actually the case for bees. And same with the ants, that's the main character is a male. They've humanized them so much that they can only think of characterizing the hero as a male. And actually, in those social insects, the females do all the work and are also the defenders of the colony.
He says he noticed that the animated films are often a parable for human society. The male main character is individualized, the black sheep of the group that doesn't want to be another number in the line of ants. Something Steinkraus connects to Western society. People just don't want to be cogs in the machine. Another type of movie that we see are the giant insect-type movies, typically from the 1950s, playing on the fear of atomic bomb testing that occurred at that time. Like the movie Them, with gigantic mutated ants that run out of food and start eating people.
Nature, mad, rampant, wrought its most awesome creation. For born in that swirling inferno of radioactive dust were things so horrible, so terrifying, so hideous, there is no word to describe them.
Be witnesses to a biblical prophecy come true.
Again, as an entomologist, Steinkraus says that just isn't physically possible.
The biggest insects in the world right now are about, one of the biggest ones, the Hercules beetle. It's about the size of a fist. And then there's Atlas moths, which have about a foot long wingspan, but their body is actually only about the size of your thumb. And so there's a limitation to the size that insects can actually get. Even if you radiated them, you could not come up with insects the size of a car. that could live. They couldn't molt their exoskeleton and survive. Like the gravity would pull their the new soft exoskeleton. It would flatten and cause it to be distorted.
One of his favorite films is the drama Uli's Gold, in which Peter Fonda plays a beekeeper. His son is in prison for a robbery, and his daughter-in-law is too into drugs. So Uli is taking care of his grandchildren.
And one of the good things they did about this film was they actually hired an old, long-term beekeeping family down in Florida to consult with them and share their apiaries with them. And so this family produced Tupelo honey, which is a fantastic honey. And they, you know, advised them on the film. So it's very accurate in the beekeeping, and it's very, very dramatic. But the beekeeping part is really excellent, and it's very sympathetic towards beekeepers. So this one I really highly recommend anybody see if they can, as a movie to see, and also with accurate stuff about bees.
There are lots of movies about bees. Most are horror, like The Swarm, Swarmed, or Killer Bees. Their intent is to stir up hysteria. Again, Steinkraus says that these types of movies don't have much scientific truth. Another of his favorite films is Meet the Applegates, about a sort of human-slash-bug family.
Humans are damaging the Amazon, where this unknown group of bugs live, and they can sort of simulate being human. So they come up to the United States to try to stop humanity. They sort of want to get rid of humanity, but they take the guise of a normal middle class sort of suburban family.
Hey, Applegate, Jane, age 38, occupation homemaker. I met my husband at Maryland University, where I majored in home economics.
I happened to find a pile of rancid trash.
Hunting for bargains, Jane?
Applegate, Sally, born Baltimore 1971, Scorpio. I enjoy swimming, chicken McNuggets, and gymnastics. Kiss on the second date.
Whoa,
and so it's really quite hilarious. So most of it's set with them as these bugs and human guys, but they get terribly corrupted by our society.
The father starts having an affair. The mother starts shopping with a credit card. The son gets in with the wrong crowd. It tells the story of humans causing trouble for the bugs, both in the Amazon and society. Then there's the 1996 MTV movie Joe's Apartment, which accurately portrays cockroaches as liking Joe's dirty apartment. But these cockroaches sing.
Funky towel, towel's got the funk.
I suppose some cockroaches do make noise, like the hissing ones mentioned earlier. An iconic image from the early 1990s is the poster or cover for the film Silence of the Lambs. It's a girl, in black and white, whose mouth is covered by a colorful moth. In this thriller, a serial killer is placing a rare moth in the throat of his victims. In addition to spending time with an imprisoned killer, Detective Clarice Starling visits entomologists like Dr. Steinkraus to find out just what kind of moth it is.
Gotcha.
What do you got, Rudin?
Agent Starling, meet Mr. Acherontius Styx.
Weird.
Better known to his friends as the Death's Head Moth.
Now, where does it come from?
That's what's strange. Only live in Asia.
Asia?
In this country, they'd have to be specially raised from imported eggs.
Now, somebody grew this guy, fed him honey and nightshade, kept him warm. Somebody loved him.
Dr. Steinkraus confirms that this movie, too, is accurate.
And that is an actual moth. That's actually the Death's Head Hawk moth, which occurs in Europe. And it does have, like, on its thorax, it has scales which look like a death's head. It looks like a skull. And it actually has scared people for a long, long time because it's a very large hawk moth, and it squeaks. And it's got an interesting habit. It likes to sneak into beehives and sip their nectar. And when it does that, it goes in and it sort of smells like a honeybee. And it squeaks a little bit. And suppose that squeak helps the bees think it's maybe a queen. And he's able to get in there and steal their honey.
Steinkraus also commented on the portrayal of entomologists or bug collectors, or scientists in general, in films. films such as the 1965 The Collector, as portraying them as nerds, something he would neither confirm nor deny. This is Ozarks at Large.